I'm Marty Moscowen. Welcome to Radio Times. If IPIC Entertainment gets the green light, the historic Boyd Theater on Chestnut Street in Center City, Philadelphia, which opened in 1928, will be turned into a luxury 8-screen movie theater that would include food and liquor. The building is set vacant for more than a decade, its Art Deco facade boarded up. Various plans to open it as a grand performance space have gone nowhere. Supporters of this latest plan say it will give the building a new life and revitalize the surrounding neighborhood. Critics contend that the building is so valuable it must be preserved. Today on Radio Times, the future of the Boyd, and we have two guests who have joined us here in our Philadelphia studio. Inga Safran is architecture critic for the Philadelphia Inquirer. She blogs at Changing Skyline. Inga, nice to have you with us on Radio Times.
Nice to be here, Marty.
And also with us is Sharon Pinkinson. She's the executive director of the Greater Philadelphia Film Office. And Sharon, thanks for joining us as well.
Thank you, Marty.
You're welcome. And to our listeners, lines always open at 1-888-477-9499 as we debate and discuss the future of the Boyd. Can we agree, though, that it is a tragedy that this beautiful historic building is sitting boarded up on Chestnut Street? Inga?
Of course. It's very sad. I mean, it's a big building and a big site. Now, it's been the front facade on Chestnut Street has been kept up pretty well. There are some stores along Chestnut Street where there were new theaters built, I think, in the 50s. But yes, it's very sad. But it hasn't been closed that long. It only closed in 2002. So in the span of a big old lifespan of a big old theater,
10 years is not so long.
10 years is nothing.
How do you see this building, Sharon?
I think that it's sad that we have one theater left that was built in the 20s in Center City. But I think that what's sadder is what's happened to that block, to that expansion of that neighborhood. And I think that despite the fact that I would love to be able to see that theater rejuvenated, I don't see a use for that theater that would ever make sense again in Philadelphia.
The idea of a large, multi-seat theater, what, holding plays, music shows, things like that?
Precisely. We, a 2,300-seat or so theater with a balcony that's been, that's basically, you haven't been able to use it for decades, because it's not safe, when we have many wonderful new and repurposed buildings that are being used for theater and that are struggling, I think that it's folly to think that it's ever really going to be a development that will work.
How do you see that, Inga?
You know, no one really expects it to be a movie theater again. We know that the economics of movie theaters have changed, and there are no more 2,300-seat movie theaters. So that's kind of a red herring. But what we have in this building, and the interior is what's so special. It's this incredibly lavishly decorated Art Deco space. From the moment you walk in past this little temple where they sold tickets, into the lobby with these etched mirrors and these murals that tell the history of women, into this multicolored, stenciled, painted auditorium. There's no space like that in Philadelphia. And as Sharon says, it is the last one we have. It's really special. It's a testament to this great past when Chestnut and Market Street were lined with great theaters. And that said, you know, we don't expect it to be a theater again, but there's so many possible uses, from, you know, sort of a live theater, which has been talked about for traveling Broadway shows, to a concert venue. A couple of years ago, there was a really fantastic plan that was very close to being realized, where it was going to be linked into a hotel, and it was going to be a multi-purpose meeting space. The developer wanted to hold business meetings there, weddings, bar mitzvahs, the occasional movie, the occasional traveling show. So I think there are a lot of possibilities. And to think of it as a movie theater, that just precludes all the other options.
I want to pick up on some of those options. But Sharon, let me give you a chance to, I guess, tell us what this movie theater idea is all about.
Well, can I just, I just want to actually rebut a little bit about what Inga said. I think, first of all, this is an opportunity. I think movie theaters are something that we need in Center City, and I think that this development from IPIC is one where it will be repurposed as it was always intended as a movie theater, and a movie theater that will preserve the exterior, will preserve a lot of these historic artifacts that they're very committed to doing, and will really provide us the perfect mix. And the development that you reference that was with the hotel a few years ago that Hal
Wheeler
developed, thank you, sadly, who sadly passed away, was really nowhere near being done. It really was not as far advanced as you say. It was a drawing. It never really got off the ground, and I suspect that it never would have. It really didn't make any sense, that particular development. This one makes a tremendous amount of sense for the citizens of Philadelphia and for the practical ability to reserve, to restore, to preserve this this facade and the head house, the entrance, and they're very committed to preserving and restoring as much of the artifacts as possible.
But if you're talking about taking a 2,300 seat theater and turning it into 8 screens, you're going to lose some of that auditorium. Yes,
you will lose the auditorium. And referencing the auditorium, I think that the issue with that is that it is the only Art Deco auditorium, large auditorium. Honestly, and I know a lot of people are going to hate me for this, it isn't compared to other Art Deco auditoriums or other great movie palaces that have been restored. That is not one of the finest.
Oh, and Inga's looking at you. Go ahead, Inga.
Well, I don't know what is the finest, but it's our finest. And cities all over the country have restored Art Deco movie palaces of varying degrees of architectural importance. I think to make the argument that it's not the most important, it's important to us and to our history. And, when you walk down Market and Chestnut today, you don't see any theaters that used to be there. And we're going to lose that memory of these places when they're gone. I think there's a really significant difference in just like knowing that they were there and seeing the physical place, even if it's not used for that purpose. It becomes a touchstone for our collective memory.
Well, let me just pick up on something and go back to you, Inga. As you said, in the life of this building built in 1928, 10 years is not that long. But perhaps, I don't know, in 2100, in the year, the 21st century, 10 years seems like a long time. And I wonder why it has still sat there after 10 years. And yes, someone did die. There have been other plans to save this building. But nonetheless, it has not been saved yet.
It closed in 2002, and it was bought, I think, 2 or 3 years later by Live Nation Clear Channel, which at that point was very interested in theaters for traveling Broadway shows. And they worked on it a bit, and then, unfortunately, that company's business model changed. They started to retrench from that business. So that was an unfortunate attempt that failed, not because of the building, but because of, the internal workings of that company.
Right.
And then this other project with the hotel also had some bad luck in that the developer died in the middle of the project. So really, we've had two very interesting and I would say potentially feasible plans in 10 years. That's really not bad. If you look at just in New York City right now, in Flatbush in Brooklyn, there's a very ornate theater called Lowe's Kings, or as people in Brooklyn said, Lowe's.
Lowe's King.
Lowe's King. And it was closed in 1978.
Right.
And it's sat vacant since 1978. And it's now being restored as a performing arts center for that neighborhood. That's way longer. And, you know, I just want to point out that it took intense involvement by public officials who really had to lobby for money, for government money. This won't happen without a lot of public support.
Right.
There's no denying that.
And let me just pick up on
and
that.
And that's exactly the point. The Lowy's Theater, or the Lowy's Theater, as I now call it, Lowy's King in Brooklyn. In Brooklyn, they need a new performing arts center. They don't have one. In Philadelphia, we are blessed with magnificent public spaces for the arts, many of which are underutilized, all of which have gotten some level of public money, nearly every one, and could not survive without them going forward. The restoration of the Brooklyn Theater is costing $70 million. And I think that the restoration of this theater would cost a similar amount. You know, we don't know exactly. People make estimates, but it would be a similar amount. Certainly in this, on the closer to $100 million side by the time it would get going. And then what? And then what would go in there? So it would then need to have a business plan going forward. Who's going to occupy it? What are they going to do in there? And how much more public money forever to run it before it becomes a disaster again? This is a business plan from IPIC, as I see it, where we will, in fact, have a movie theater that meets the needs of the 21st century public, and that will, when people walk by, still see the vestiges of a great movie palace because it will be restored. And we'll have those memories as opposed to a building that once again gets boarded up because there's a business plan that didn't work and it needs to be abandoned.
And we have about a minute before our first break here. But in terms of the style of movie house, we're talking about what, high-end audio, fancy seats, food, liquor?
Absolutely. State-of-the-art projection. Kind of comfort of seats that gets people to leave their living rooms and go to a public space where they can watch movies communally. Food that doesn't make noise, from what I understand, which is actually pretty fascinating. I've seen some of that. And really a luxury food, beverage, movie-going experience that people can join together and enjoy.
Let's take that short break, and then we'll get back to our conversation. We're talking about the future of the Boyd Theater here in Philadelphia, built in 1928, a very interesting example of a movie palace with its Art Deco design. The voice you just heard is Sharon Pinkinson, and she's executive director of the Greater Philadelphia Film Office. Also with us is Inga Safran. She's architecture critic for the Philadelphia Inquirer. She blogs at Changing Skyline. We're getting some interesting different perspectives here on Radio Times, and we want to hear from you. That phone number is 1-888-477-9499. You can send us an email, radiotimes@whyy.org, and send me a tweet at Marty Moss Cohen.
AS1812 Productions, Philadelphia's all-comedy theater company, supports WHYY. From the creative team that brought you This Is the Week That Is and our show of shows, 1812 Productions celebrates the holidays with its newest original production, The Big Time, New Vaudeville for the Holidays, featuring Jennifer Childs, Scott Greer, and Dave Jadico. The Big Time reunites Philadelphia's comedy dream team and brings the steamer trunk circuit into the 21st century. Tickets at 1812productions.org.
This Week in This American Life, turkeys.
It's pecking the car. It's pissed.
Scary, scary turkeys.
It is attacking the car.
Oh, get out of here! Oh, my gosh!
Feral turkeys.
911, the sheriff's department.
The local police are up here shooting our turkeys, and they've got my husband tied up. They have him handcuffed because he was trying to get them to stop shooting our turkeys.
Humans and birds collide this week.
Tonight at 10 on WHYY.
I'm Robin Young. Next time on Here and Now, from the farmer's market to the gas station, how one newlywed couple tried to live on the Bitcoin, the virtual currency, for 90 days.
Have you heard of Bitcoin?
Bitcoin.
Okay. It's a digital currency.
It's a what?
It's a digital currency. Okay. It's an online currency.
That's next time on Here and Now from NPR and WBUR Boston.
this afternoon at 1 on WHYY.
This is Radio Times here on WHYY in Philadelphia. I'm Marty Moscoe, and we're talking about the Boyd Theater here in Center City, Philadelphia on Chestnut Street. A Florida company wants to turn the building into a high-end 8-screen movie theater, but that does mean some demolition. Supporters of the Boyd say no, it must be preserved because of its architectural and historic significance. And again, talking with Inga Safran and Sharon Pinkinson and taking calls at 1-888-477-9499. That's 1-888-477-WHYY. And I've always wondered why, at least in the last decade or so, Center City, Philadelphia has not had really a movie theater. I mean, if you go to the movies in Philly, you go to the Ritz or you go down
you
to...
I don't buy that.
Well, there's Sansom Street.
You know, it depends how you define Center City. And of course, I think the boundaries of what we consider Center City have grown enormously. So we have the Ritzes on the east. We have the Bridge on the west. We have the Roxy in the middle. But I think it's worth pointing out that a lot of the big, boxy buildings that have traditionally held large numbers of people in cities, I'm thinking, you know, big churches, big movie houses, supermarkets, they have a lot of trouble finding space in the dense, expensive center of the city.
Right.
So, you know, I just want to say, I think IPIC is great, and I would love to have another movie theater. I just don't see why it has to go here. In fact, I can think of much better locations in terms of transit access.
Such as? Where?
Well, Broad Street. I think it'd be great to have a theater on Broad Street because, you know, it's the central spine of the city. It would serve east and west sides of the city. There are a lot of big blocks, a lot of empty spaces, some of them city-owned even.
Well, I know you don't speak for this company, Sharon, but... No. Are there other locations you think that could serve the kind of purpose that you see, which is to bring movies into a certain part of the city and perhaps to use a theater to revitalize a neighborhood?
Yeah, Inga and I both live in Center City West, and that is the area that really, really needs the theaters. We compare ourselves all the time to other big cities. We compare ourselves to New York, and any of us who visit New York are jealous of the fact that you can walk down the street and go to the movies in any neighborhood. This is a location that, in my opinion, if it is rejuvenated, restore the what can be restored out of the theater lovingly, and still be able to go to the movies right there on Chestnut Street, while rejuvenating a neighborhood, a street, allowing Chestnut Street West to really develop, when now restaurants open and close, stores open and close on that block because it's blighted. Mm. I think we're doing something really wonderful for this city that we love so dearly. Broad Street is developing on its own. There are other developments that are filling up spaces on Broad Street, and I think that it's the perfect location on Chestnut Street.
But do you buy the idea, Inga, that if this went through, that could help to revitalize this part of the city?
I think this part of the city is revitalized already. I don't think it needs revitalization. There are two very expensive condo buildings right next door. And I think there's a lot, you know, as Walnut Street has become more expensive and attracted more national chains, a lot of Philadelphia-based stores have moved to Chestnut Street. And we've already seen a real awakening there. But I wonder if I could say something.
You can say anything you want.
I wonder if I could say something about sort of the legal aspects of this and the precedent aspects of this. And this is a building that received historical designation. It's listed on the city register. And, you know, if we start assigning a clock to preservation, we say, oh, 5 years and you're out if you can't figure out what to do with it, we will lose so many historic buildings, because historic buildings are a big pain in the neck. You know, they're not easy to develop. And just because we're impatient, why hasn't this been developed? If we start making that the test, we're going to lose a lot more buildings. There are two other buildings on this very block, both of them occupied, both of them Art Deco buildings. And the developer, and they're both historic buildings, I believe, and the developer wants to tear them down right now and build an apartment building. And he's going to have to make the same case.
How do you respond to that, Jaron? I mean, the idea that this could be precedent-setting, meaning that other buildings, other historic buildings, could be at risk.
The Boyd Theater is not occupied. Only the exterior is historically designated, not the interior. No, it doesn't compare to smaller buildings that are occupied, whether they're historically even though they are historically designated. So I don't think we're comparing apples to apples here. I think that we can snatch victory in this space. I think there's a great opportunity here. And in fact, the development of Chestnut Street, just to counter what you said about the development, has really stopped. It's made a dead stop at 19th Street. So I think that there is tremendous opportunity to link Center City West, starting with Chestnut Street, right through to the river and across the river, so that we can really expand the city. And I think that this would be the impetus for that.
My understanding is that this Florida company, the owner would have to argue financial hardship, I guess, in order to get a green light on this. Inga, is that how it works?
Yeah. Once a building has been designated as historic, you have to show that there's no reasonable way to develop it at a reasonable cost. So it's a complex burden, and there's the city now hired a third party consultant to evaluate that. There's a report that's coming out around December 10th, and then there's going to be the first hearing before the commission on, I think, December 17th.
Is there anyone else looking at this building that either of you know of beyond this Florida company? Do you know, Inga? Is anyone eyeing it, thinking?
I don't know, because it doesn't seem that it's been marketed in that way, but. There are two other possibilities, or maybe more than two other possibilities for this building. As I mentioned before, a lot of retail is moving off Walnut Street because it's become very expensive. And we know, for example, that Urban Outfitters lease on Walnut Street will be up soon. So you could imagine a store like Urban Outfitters doing something really interesting.
Using that whole auditorium?
Sure,
kind of
why
thing?
Not? I think that's one option.
Okay.
That's just me speculating. I think another possibility, and I've always wondered about this, why there was never a nonprofit corporation established to pursue some kind of development. I think another issue.
But there was the Friends of the Boyd.
The Friends of the Boyd. But, they didn't really have state support, and they didn't have a full-time person, and they didn't really have a structure to pursue this. This will never happen. I do agree. This will never happen without, some kind of public official who is determined to help raise money and make it happen. It does need like a sugar daddy.
But do you think Philadelphia...
Forever. A sugar daddy forever. And I suspect that Urban Outfitters, although I don't know and I certainly have not spoken to them, wouldn't even begin to consider the cost of restoring what would be required in a historic building in order to build a retail store. I've been in retail. I don't think that's very practical.
One of the reasons it doesn't have interior designation, and it could have qualified for that, but the groups that were trying to preserve it purposely didn't designate the interior because they wanted to give whatever group developed it, the flexibility right. to not do a perfect historical restoration.
But isn't this, such as IPIC?
Well, isn't this sort of what I? I'm not trying to be two sides here, but
IPIC is going to gut the whole thing. I mean, we're basically talking about the facade, which is nice, but
you were talking about the lobby, the mural, all of that.
Everything inside. Past. You used to walk in. There were two glass shop windows on either side. There was a little ticket booth, and then you walked into the lobby, and it's everything past the shop windows would be demolished. You know, it's interesting because there is no interior designation right now, they could gut the building right now.
Right.
There's nothing to stop them. The reason IPIC wants this hardship is so they can tear down the exterior walls.
Well, let me give you a chance to respond to that, Sharon. And we've got a lot of callers that want to join our conversation as well. As you understand it, what would that assuming IPIC, you know, gets the go-ahead, how much of this building do you think they would demolish or should demolish?
All of the parts of the to my understanding, the parts of the exterior of the building that are designated historic, the whole limestone carved Art Deco facade on Chestnut Street, the smoked glass, all those artifacts that you're referencing, Inga, are all going to be not just preserved but restored, and restored to their 1920s splendor. The marquee, all of that will be restored. So when you walk down the street, you're going to see not the Sam Urich nightmare that I grew up with, really, but the Boyd Theater that predated the glorious theater. That's what you're going to see, and you're going to be able to walk in and still feel like you're in a movie palace. And then you're going to go into glamorous, gorgeous, comfortable, super high class, movie going experience. And I think that's the home run. Mm-hmm. I mean, destroying the main building's exterior. And the interior, the rest of the exterior that will come down is of no significance. So, I don't see a problem with that.
Let me just quickly reintroduce the two of you. I do want to get some callers in the conversation. We're talking about the future of the Boyd Theater. What is the exact address?
Just 1908.
1908, because we've had a couple of people who want to know that. And again, talking with Sharon Pinkinson, she's the executive director of the Greater Philadelphia Film Office, Inga Safran, architecture critic for the Philadelphia Inquirer. She blogs at Changing Skyline. And I do want to get some callers in. Looks like we have Richard from Center City, Philadelphia. Richard, go ahead. You're on Radio Times.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm a neighbor. I live at 1920 Chestnut in one part of what used to be the historic Aldine Hotel.
Right.
And I think that's really significant. In 1860 up through 1918, the Aldine Hotel was one of the finest hotels in Philadelphia. And it was listed in the Philadelphia Blue Book, which is the precursor to the list of historic places. The Aldine was torn down, and it was replaced by the Boyd, which is a fascinating, in my view, historical fact. Because what it means is that cities develop and move over time. A great old hotel where Abraham Lincoln and Babe Ruth and Ty Cobb stayed no longer had a utility for the city by the middle of the second decade of this last century,
right,
and was replaced by a huge movie theater palace. Well, what's happened today, as I think Sharon has pointed out correctly, is that the world has changed. That kind of movie palace doesn't have a utility in town. Nobody's been able to make it work. And there's a complete absence of movie theaters within our neighborhood.
Well, Richard,
this is a huge, vibrant neighborhood.
Well, and
I'm amazed that Inga says that it's okay. It's developed. There are six shuttered stores.
Let me give her a chance to respond to your call, Richard. And I think you raise a really interesting point, which is the sort of history of the building that he's referring to.
I agree that cities are layers of time, and that you can't stop change everywhere, and you have to be very selective about it. I think this is one building that is worth saving. There are there actually are other theaters that survive in the city in various states. There's, of course, the Uptown Theater, which is the closest to being revived on North Broad Street, the Royal Theater on South Street. There, everyone talks about the Metropolitan Opera. Mm-hmm. There's the Blue Horizon, which is also endangered right now. I think we have to choose our battles, and I think this is the biggest and most glamorous, and it's centrally located. And for me, that's an argument to...
That's a battle worth having.
Yeah, to say this one is the one.
Sharon, any response?
Maybe, Inga, you should change the name of your blog.
Changing Skyline.
Because what you're talking about is quite the opposite of what this caller said. You know, the cities lovingly grow and change, hopefully. Philadelphia is one of those. I mean, in my business, which is the film business, it is the architecture of the city that is, in fact, it is that skyline. It is those buildings that we have, you know, as compared to other cities, lovingly retained and restored and cared for. We made a movie called Beloved in Philadelphia many years ago that was set in Cincinnati in the 1880s. And yet Jonathan Demme went to Cincinnati to try to find two 19th century buildings next to each other to try to create a block, and it wasn't possible. And having made a movie here in Philadelphia, he called me and said, can we do 1880s Cincinnati in Philadelphia? Mm. And I walked him down 3rd Street in Old City, and clearly it was there. So we are good at this. I think that as you know, I've been involved in historical preservation as a huge proponent myself for a long time, and have been recognized as such. And it hurts me to have to take a position where we lose any buildings at all. I cry every day that we don't have the old Civic Center, which was a building that I worked very hard to try to save. But I think that this is the best of all possibilities for this particular building.
And if Jonathan Demme comes to you and says, I need a fallen down Art Deco movie palace, what do you say to him?
Well, there are other fallen down movie palaces in Philadelphia. There are not necessarily in Center City, but there are others in West Philadelphia and North Philadelphia, and I don't think that's going to be the linchpin of making that decision. It's a factor, and I'm just trying to put some perspective on the whole concept.
Let's take another short break. We'll get back to our conversation and our callers as well. Richard, thanks for the call to Radio Times. You can call as well. That phone number is 1-888-477-9499. You can send us an email with any questions or comments you may have, and you can send me a tweet at Marty Moss Coaim. Talking with Inga Saffron, architecture critic for the Philadelphia Inquirer. She blogs at Changing Skyline. Sharon Pinkinson, executive director of the Greater Philadelphia Film Office, getting some interesting and different perspectives on the Boyd Theater and what should be done with this building. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Support for WHYY comes from Delaware Valley College. Delaware Valley College offers a Master of Arts in Policy Studies that prepares students to take leadership roles in developing policies to address important issues impacting our communities. Students can choose from food and agriculture, sustainability and environment, or community and international development. More information about a Master of Arts in Policy Studies is available online at delval.edu/grad.
On the next Fresh Air, singer-songwriter Mark Mulcahy is in our studio to perform songs from his first album in 8 years, the first since his wife died. Writer Rick Moody called it among the very best records of 2013, and he describes Mulcahy as a remarkable songwriter. Join us.
This afternoon at 3, and again tonight at 7 on WHYY.
Season of Giving inspires the impulse of giving and drives the logic of giving.
Effective altruism. It's important because it combines both the heart and the head.
Philosopher Peter Singer on making charitable giving that's something from the head and very little heart. That's next time on The Takeaway from PRI, Public Radio International.
Today at noon on WHYY.
This is Radio Times here on WHYY in Philadelphia. I'm Marty Moscoen. The debate over the future of the Boyd Theater in Center City, Philadelphia, raises a whole host of complicated issues for the city's government, for the business community, for residents who live in this city. And we're sorting it all out with two guests who have different perspectives on this building. Inga Safran, architecture critic for the Philadelphia Inquirer. Sharon Pinkinson, executive director of the Greater Philadelphia Film Office. Let me get to Sally. Looks like Sally Ellerson to join us from Center City, Philadelphia, president and CEO of Eastern State Penitentiary. And Sally, nice to have you with us on Radio Times.
Good morning, Marty.
Good morning.
Thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome.
Yes, I'm president and CEO of Eastern State Penitentiary, and I want to support Inga's comments about thinking about the building first. Eastern State sat vacant for over 20 years, right in the middle of an urban neighborhood that was starting to be redeveloped. So suddenly there was development pressure on it, and I think we would have lost this resource. The reason we didn't was because it was owned by the City of Philadelphia. So when the city allowed us to bring people in to see it, suddenly people began to realize that there was a resource. Mm. So the public support was what helped helped the city reject development proposals and allowed a group of people to form a nonprofit to begin to think carefully about the appropriate reuse for the building. Meanwhile, we opened it up for tours, and today we have 250,000 people coming.
Yeah, and it's a great facility.
I realize that the Boyd is different,
sure.
But what happened here was people got to understand what this resource was, and it was the people that made the difference.
I appreciate the call to Radio Times. Let me give Sharon a chance to respond to that.
Very happy to hear this caller. I love Eastern State, yes. And I don't think that I think Eastern State is an amazing resource for the city, and I love the property and everything that they've done with it. In fact, I've made several movies and TV shows there, so I know it very well. I would say that Eastern State Penitentiary is an incredibly unique building. There is none other like it in the world because it is the very first penitentiary that was ever built, ever, and therefore had to be saved. In fact, there is one that was built in the spoke style, built by the great architect John Haviland. I think that it would have been a total disaster to have lost that building. The Boyd is not that building. Mm. It is a movie palace in a great city. Unfortunately, we've lost others, but it is not that unique, one-off kind of property. So I think that its reuse as a movie palace and being restored in that way is something that there's just no comparison.
It's interesting, Inga, and I do want to move on, but she talked about the fact that it was owned by the city and the public had a chance to see what was inside. Mm. That's not so true with the Boyd.
That's true. It is privately owned. I thought it was... I hadn't really thought of this as a comparison, but it's a great comparison. I can just imagine at the time, and I wasn't here, you want to preserve that tumbling down big stone prison, which takes up a whole block in this neighborhood that's blighted and needs to revive. I mean, it just sounds like the
crazy,
same,
right?
Crazy, right? And if you can save a prison, you can save a movie theater. It's so much more imaginable and doable, I think, you know.
Sharon's looking at you like, no.
I mean, it is the unique, one-off, original penitentiary. It is you know, it had to be preserved, and it's been great. This is not that. It's just apples and oranges here.
I think it's a pretty great interior in the Boyd. I wouldn't dismiss it.
But people don't get inside to see it. I mean, in part.
Unfortunately, they don't.
Let me get, looks like Robert from Marion Station to join our conversation. Robert, go ahead. You're on Radio Times.
Hi. I'm an archaeologist. I'm retired. I grew up in Philadelphia. I'm 66 years old. I've been listening to this. I was living out of state in exile for years. I have now returned.
Welcome back.
Yeah, welcome back, Robert.
Right. I get to say anything like water without people laughing. But I think this, but for me at least, as I was listening to people talk about which theater this is, I looked it up online. Mm-hmm. This is a gem. I think, frankly, the exterior is nothing. If they don't save the interior, there's no point in saving this building. There is no other space like this in Philadelphia. This is where Cinerama showed. This is where, as I believe, I saw Cinderella, Walt Disney's Cinderella, when it opened. Somebody with some creative whatever can do something with this if we get some time. I don't know if anybody's talked to David Packard, the heir to the one of the heirs to the Hewlett-Packard money. He saves movies. He saves movie theaters. If they get somebody in there that could throw some money at this, I mean, I agree it needs money. But there's no point in saving the building without saving the interior.
Without saving the interior. Well, Robert, no, I appreciate the call to Radio Times. We got an
And I'm an archaeologist. I've seen buildings. You know, I've seen the Parthenon. Once these buildings go, they're gone. This will take out the heart of the city. There's nothing like this in Philadelphia, and it would be a shame to give it up.
Well, I appreciate the call to Radio Times. There seems to be some confusion, but the two of you seem to, you do agree that the interior was not designated historic. So it's really talking, if something is saved, it is the exterior of this building, but not the interior. Is that right?
That's right.
That's from both of
Correct.
You. Robert says this is worth saving, Sharon. He saw Cinderella there.
I wish he could write a check. I don't see it happening, and I don't see anybody coming in to restore the interior of the theater. I don't see what it would be used for. I don't see a business looking at it as a not just as somebody who loves historic preservation, but somebody who understands business. I don't see a business plan that will ever work for this space in this city.
But if it were, and you started by talking about this, Inga, the idea of preserving it as what it has been, although not for movies, but for theater, perhaps for musicals, for those kinds of staging events, is that possible? Do you think in what where are we? 2013?
Oh, absolutely.
Even though people can go to the Merriam Kimmel,
just as Sharon was saying, there's no place in Center City to go. You know, she was describing Center City pretty narrowly, but no place to see a movie on the West Side. You know, I would say there's no place to see a rock concert in Center City. There are some venues that have emerged sort of around it, but there's no Keswick Theater.
Prince is now doing musical shows.
But I'm talking about like sort of a rock venue, smaller acts. I mean, you can make that argument. I'm not saying it has to be that. And I think it's really important not to be wedded to one particular use. This will never be a full-time movie theater.
Mm-hmm.
The economics of the film industry.
Filling 2,300 seats, for instance.
Yeah, not going to happen. You know, what was so appealing about the late Hal Wheeler's plan was that it was so multifaceted. He saw it tied into a hotel. He was actually going to break through the wall behind. There's a small stage, and he was going to break through the wall to connect it to a hotel, which would have effectively made this the banquet hall of the hotel. And he was going to have weddings where he set up tables where the seats are. He was going to mm-hmm. change the seats. He was going to do a lot of radical intervention.
Right.
But it was going to make it a multi-purpose space, and the more uses you have for it, the more chance you have of making it work from an economic point of view.
Let me get Howard Haas to join us. He's the president of the Friends of the Boyd. And, Howard, nice to have you with us on Radio Times.
Thanks. Sharon, for years you endorsed a full restoration of the Boyd so that Philadelphia would have a proper venue for Hollywood-style movie premieres in addition to live shows. There's four restored movie palaces in downtown Boston, three in downtown Chicago, three in Pittsburgh, five in Cleveland, etc., because all those cities get more shows than Philadelphia have. Saving the facade and a few artifacts, that's just too little, as Inga indicates. It was a grand theater, so we don't agree with you, Sharon, and Friends of the Boyd hope that your listeners will join us, Friends of the Boyd, at a rally on Tuesday in front of the theater from 11:30 in the morning till 1 o'clock to save the Boyd.
Well, let me give Sharon a chance to respond, and I should say to our listeners, you were instrumental in the committee to save the Boyd. That goes back a number of years now.
And also a friend of the Friends of the Boyd, and attended events and supported and spoke at the Boyd, but in front of the theater, and grew up across the street from the theater. But I think that what's happened, you know, the idea about saving the Boyd then was to save it as a movie palace. No one is projecting 35 millimeter film anymore. Really, it's going away. Nobody's going to, in groups of 2,300 or 1,000 people, even to see a movie. And I've just spoken with my counterpart in Pittsburgh. Those theaters in Pittsburgh are not really successful. In
meaning people don't go?
No, I don't think that's a practical use of the theater anymore. And Howard, I was wondering when you were going to call.
I'm glad you did.
I still like you. I hope you still like me. But I feel like this is this may be a near impossible task at this point to find the money to figure out a way to save this theater, and I think we have to snatch victory.
Mm. Howard, thanks for the call to Radio Times. Let me get another caller in. We have, it looks like, Dave from Southwest Philadelphia. Dave, go ahead. You're on Radio Times.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I'd like to comment you on this lovely discussion. The problem is that Sharon is, I think it's been Sharon has pointed out numerous times, it's ultimately a discussion framed by and constrained by the economics of the situation. The tragedy here is that these constraints, again, it's a cost-benefit analysis ultimately with, you know, net present value, revenue streams, the whole of it, all that has to be taken into account. But the tragedy here is that these economic constraints would be far less significant if we would stop wasting the hundreds of billions of dollars we have been and continue to on the farcical war on terror.
Wait, Dave, you're totally off the radar here, because the war on terror has nothing to do with who owns the Boyd or whether the city of Philadelphia has money sloshing around that they can invest into a building that certainly has historical significance but has nothing to do with the war on terror. Let me get Rob from Springfield to join our conversation. Nothing like live radio. Hi, Rob. Go ahead. You're on Radio Times.
Hi. Yes, I own a 17th century home in Springfield that I live in with my wife and kids. You know, it's about 80% original on the inside, but we still have heat and hot water and plumbing and air conditioning. And I think that's what a home's for. That's what things that were built need to be embraced and used, not sit and become museums. So I would say if it's going to be a movie theater, it was built as a movie theater.
But Rob,
a new movie theater.
But Rob, if it costs tens of millions of dollars to bring it back to life, who pays for that, and how do you get a return on that money?
Well, I'd say that you know, you develop it into a new movie theater. So, you know, like this, the design is to make it a world-class new thing, but still keep the essential of it.
I hear you. Let me give Sharon a chance to respond.
Well, of course, I agree with that, and I think it's brilliant that you live in this home and lovingly take care of it. And I'm constantly following every property that comes about in the Five County region and beyond, and try to encourage that kind of restoration and use. So I agree with you.
Yeah, what about you, Inga? And we have a minute or two if you have to say goodbye. But, I mean, do you think they're...
I think it's too soon to give up the fight.
Okay.
I really think, this is a theater that was almost saved way earlier than anyone thought it would be saved. And, you know, through some bad luck, those two proposals didn't come through. And are we really so impatient? Mm. You know, it's only been designated for 5 years. Is that what we want with our historic preservation? You know, develop it in 5 years or tear it down? I just think it's way too early to give up on this building.
And do you think, and again, Sharon, you're not speaking for the Florida company that's interested in this building, but if they have to jump through lots of hoops, are they going to give up on this? Or do you have any sense of that?
Well, I think they're very excited about this project, and I think that the neighbors that live around it, and many other people in Center City are very excited and are longing for the opening of this new theater. So I think there's a tremendous amount of support for this proposal. I don't think that previous proposal for multiple use of the space was a practical proposal. I know about multiple uses for spaces. They never can find the right timing. It would be a gigantic theater with a large issue about labor. It would create a lot of other problems. I think we have to capture the moment now and take this great opportunity to save the Boyd in this way.
I thank you both very much for joining us today on Radio Times. I learned a lot. And Sharon Pinkinson, Executive Director of the Greater Philadelphia Film Office, thank you for joining us today on Radio Times.
Thank you so much.
Inga Safran is Architecture Critic for the Philadelphia Inquirer. She blogs at Changing Skyline. Inga, thank you very much as well.
Thank you, Marty.
And we appreciate those phone calls to Radio Times. Go to whyy.org, at least most of them. You can send us an email. We started this conversation on our Facebook page. Actually, you can continue that conversation about the future of the Boyd Theater. I'm Marty Moscoe. Thank you so much for joining us, and do stay with us for hour two. We'll be right back.